This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. Thank you so much for joining me. In 1979, my next guest came up with an idea for a memorial to the fallen men from the Vietnam era. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial was dedicated about 3 years later on November 13th, 1982, with a beautiful design by Maya Lin, and has since then been getting 4.5 million visitors every year. People who walk past those walls, stop, look, reflect, remember people they may have known, remember people they may never have known. It is always emotional walking down into that area where those walls are and into that general area. In fact, I know a little bit something about the emotion because in the 80s and 90s, I was doing a morning radio show in Washington, and I remember very well in April of 1988 when we saw a report that some idiots had scratched some of those beautiful granite panels at the memorial. One of the scratches was in the shape of a swastika, and I went on the air the next morning, and we started helping the VVMF, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, raise some money to replace those panels. I'm happy to say that people responded in very large numbers, and we were able to get the money together for Jan Scruggs and the fund to replace those panels. They have continued to upgrade it ever since. They have put up statues and honored other people who have fallen through the wars, including some of the women who served as nurses in that era. And now he has undertaken a new project to build an education center and another one called Faces Never Forgotten. So I've asked Jan to join me here today to talk about all of this. Hi, Jan, how are you?
Hey, great. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Let's talk about first the Faces Never Forgotten project. What is that?
Well, we are getting the photographs of all 58,000 Americans who gave their lives in the Vietnam War. And this is really a face with a name because we're building the education center at the wall, getting the photographs, and these photographs will really inspire people. We hope to be good citizens and to remember these sacrifices.
These photographs are coming from family members or who?
Yes, sometimes family members, often military veterans who knew these guys and women. But we have 32,000 of them already, and we're trying to get all 58,000. And buildthecenter.org is one place you can learn a little bit more about it.
All of this is being done through private donations, just like the original wall?
Yes. We have to build the education center at the wall with private donations, and we are seeking them, of course. And we've had some luck. We think we can finish the fundraising here in a couple of years. It's going to take a little more work, but we've got plenty of help and a nationwide network of volunteers who are out there helping us get the photographs.
Why have you not accepted government money, Jan?
Well, you know, maybe we should, but really, we built the memorial without any government help, and we're trying to do the same thing with the education center at the wall. These are people who gave their lives for our government, but this just seems right to do this privately. That's been part of the success of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, is that it was not government-funded. This was done by the people. So it's an interesting philosophy, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. I mentioned the emotion of walking down there. I used to call it the pit of emotion, as you would come down those ramps and the granite got larger in the middle as you got to the bigger parts of the wall. I was always struck not only by the people who were standing there, maybe they knew someone on the wall, maybe they didn't, but also by some of the items that people left behind. Are they still doing that?
They're still doing that. There are over 400,000 items that have been left at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. Part of these will be in the Education Center at the wall, many of these items. And these are very, very emotional items. One fellow left a canteen that had a bullet wound through it, and it had actually belonged to an enemy soldier, and he left it with a note talking about how his father had taken this guy's life and could never come to grips with it, but wanted it left there. So, and there are great things that have been left, For example, quite a few women have left the little shoes they used to wear in the high school prom that belonged to some of these guys who got themselves killed in Vietnam. And that's what a lot of us did right after high school, is we volunteered to go over there and fight.
Yeah. You've talked to a lot of your fellow veterans. I've talked to a small percentage of the number that you have talked to, obviously. But I always found, particularly in the years that the wall was first put up and people were first coming to visit it, that although they wanted to be part of the emotion of being there and visiting it and maybe having their memories flash back to it, they didn't want to talk about it all that much. Has that changed? Have Vietnam veterans loosened up in that regard?
Well, it's, you know, I've studied military veterans throughout history, and a lot of these World War II, Korea veterans as well, they didn't really talk about it much until they got a lot older.
Yep.
And then many times that's all they talked about. You'll see a lot of you'll see a lot more veterans talking.
So now that Vietnam veterans are in their 60s, 70s, some even older than that, have they started loosening up and sharing some of their memories?
Yeah. There's a Veterans History Project done by the National Archives, and it gets a lot of these guys and women, really, to talk about the experiences they had over there, preserve these experiences for history. It was a very difficult time in our lives.
And part of that was the way Vietnam veterans were treated when they came home, because our country was so torn apart by people who wanted the war to end and people who didn't want there to be a draft and all the rest. And that was a big part of the silence, right?
You're absolutely right, and you know, probably a lot of people listening to the radio today, they may not have been alive during the 1960s, but this was a tumultuous period, you know, the tear gas on campuses, huge demonstrations, there was even some explosions in Washington, in the U.S. Capitol, and at the Pentagon. I mean, this was almost an incredible, hard period to understand. But we were sort of caught in the middle of it, those of us who had served the country, and many of us were castigated, really. People would say, why did you go to Vietnam? How could you do that? It's an immoral war. So it was tough enough coming back, but being called immoral and so forth was a little much for most of us.
Yeah, it was also very different because of the draft, and people who didn't necessarily want to go to war did go, and 58,000 of them lost their lives, and they're remembered on that wall. I'm curious about the Faces Never Forgotten project. How I'm sure that there are veterans who don't remember the names necessarily of people that they served with, especially if they were on, you know, on duty somewhere just for a short time, and they may not remember it. But I bet there are guys who see those faces and go, "Oh man, I remember him."
Yes, and with, you know, this internet that we have nowadays, you can go, if you were in a particular battle on a particular day, you can go and see the names of the people who gave their lives in Vietnam on that day. And a lot of times people remember and from that date, and then they go on and see the faces and they remember these guys.
Yeah.
So it's important. Yeah, Faces Never Forgotten. And it's worth taking a look at the website if you've got nothing to do on a beautiful day like this, or write it down and come see it tonight.
Yeah, it's vvmf.org, and the Wall of Faces is on there. Last thing I want to ask you about, Jan, is we hear a lot about Iraq and Afghanistan veterans having trouble getting the help that they need from the VA, particularly medical help, but also all sorts of other benefits. How is it for Vietnam veterans all these decades later?
Well, us Vietnam veterans are approaching retirement age. I mean, just about everyone is in their mid-60s right now. So the guys I know, and women too, are pretty happy with the Veterans Administration, but we're really focusing our efforts on these returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. And the Education Center at the Wall will actually serve, at least as a temporary basis, as sort of their memorial, because we're going to have the photographs in there of all the casualties from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they deserve a special place of their own one day. But until then, this will be a place where they can go to and be honored for their service.
Well, I think that's really nice that you're going to include them, because we don't want this generation to be forgotten any more than the previous generations. And it's important to remember all of these men and women who have served through the years, and particularly those 58,000 who died in Vietnam. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, Faces Never Forgotten Project. You can find out more about it by going to the website VVMF. Jan Scrugg, CEO and founder of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. Thanks so much. Great to talk to you again.
Cool. Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. America.